Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On day 57 of our Year of the Bible adventure through Holy Scripture, day 57, and we are in Moses, some of the final words that he has to say to the Israelites before they enter into the Promised Land, and right before his death. A lot of it is recapitulation of things that we've learned in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. And so it can seem repetitious. The reason it seems repetitious is because it is. You repeat the important things and make sure people remember them. You also tell them to the new generation. But I said that one of the things that I wanted to do while we did this, while we went over these parts that are repetitious, is to look for some of the similarities, but also the differences, and sort of what the differences mean. And one of the ones, in chapter 16, he is laying out the festivals, right? Now, this has to do with what we talked about yesterday, which is that there was going to be one place where the Lord was worshipped. Sorry, you're following along with my Google navigation. One place where the Lord was worshipped. Now, that place could move around because the tabernacle could move around, but it was going to be one place to which people would make their pilgrimages. And so when he is out, when Moses is outlining,
turn left onto South Bryn Mawr Avenue.
Okay, thanks. We will do that. And so when he is laying out these festivals, they've got a slightly different flavor because it's now been made clear that, there's going to be tribal allotments. Everybody's going to be spread out. However, they will all travel, to wherever that place is. And we talked about how that means, in part, that they'll all get together. They will have a family reunion every time they have one of those big pilgrimage festivals. And we see that in the New Testament. We see when everybody, remember at Pentecost, the whole heavens and everything was gathered together. I mean, like all of the people were gathered together there, and that's why Jerusalem was full and all that kind of stuff. We remember that from the book of Acts. So very good. Now, one of the other sort of slight differences that is evident in the description in Deuteronomy is that there's a kind of a smushing together of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They sort of get put together. Now, but here's the interesting thing. Passover is to be celebrated at the altar, right? Like where the sacrificial lamb is sacrificed, it's supposed to be done at that altar, at that place, that single place where God is going to be worshipped, that moves around, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So that's Passover. Then this Feast of Unleavened Bread is one that per the very way it sounds, is done at home. Now, originally Passover was done at home too. Remember, there's going to be like a lamb for each family, and so forth. And if your neighbor doesn't have one, you'll get together and share a lamb or something like that. Here, Passover is in a specific place, but the Feast of Unleavened Bread is done at home. So they're going to gather at the altar for Passover, and then they're going to return to their homes for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So they'll come together, and then they'll go apart. And one of the ways that people talk about this is that they come together for pardon, and then they, disperse again to their homes for participation. And what they mean is both participation for the whole community in their sort of individual tribal situations, but also participation in what God has done, right? Because God's pardon of them has sort of allowed them to be acceptable, to be, right? Because their sins have been forgiven, blah, blah, blah. They're sort of back there when God, they're remembering how God had pardoned them and brought them out of Egypt, and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they go home and they all do in a sort of celebratory way. And that is one of the things that was unique and unusual about, and this actually was in yesterday's reading, but when it was talking about the sacrifices and what to do and all that kind of stuff, I think it's like seven times, it's like a bunch of times, the Lord says, you get together and you rejoice. You're going to get together and you're going to do these things and you're going to rejoice, which is to say that these sacrifices that are made, which are, and like, let's not miss the fact that these sacrifices are like actual sacrifices, and it, like, they hit the wallet, right? Like they certainly hit the wallet. It's not, they don't just throw in their loose change, right? They're throwing in livestock and that kind of thing. You're sacrificing, you get together and you rejoice. There is a celebratory, well, it's a commandment. I mean, it's saying that there should be a celebratory nature to this remembrance of pardon, and then this participation. That's new in Deuteronomy. You get together and you sacrifice and you celebrate. So then they go, so they pardon and they got participation. They go back, and then he talks about the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost is what we call it because it's got the Greek name, but the Feast of Pentecost, which is 50 days after that, and he talks about like after the, don't ask me, it's like after one thing is, after you gather one thing, but before the other thing is gathered or something, I don't know, something like that. Anyway, there's a 50-day thing, and then you do Shavuot, right? The thing where you build little tents, little lean-tos, not tents out of fancy material, the way that my tents are, which cost an arm and a leg, but these sort of like dwelling places made out of reeds, so that you, reeds or whatever, woods, I don't know, I'm not sure it matters, but sort of little shelters for the outside, and you go have a meal outside, or you go sleep outside. Now, most likely, the kids wanted to sleep outside for the whole time, and the adults wanted to just have a meal outside the whole time. But that's what they did. And why do you do that? Why do you do Shavuot? You do Shavuot because it reminds you of the Lord's providing for Israel during the desert wandering years, but also continuing, right? As God continues to provide for Israel. And that's why you celebrate that, which is to say, God's provision. So you got pardon, you're going to love this, pardon, participation, and provision. The pardon of sins, the sort of pardon to bring out of Egypt, the participation in what God is doing, and then participation for the whole community in this Deuteronomic instruction, and then provision, right? Which again should be celebrated, the fact that God will provide. Now, this ties together with some of the, so there are a bunch of really interesting things. You'll just have to trust me that it's interesting. There's a bunch of interesting things talking about this provision. One of the things is that Moses says, and when you get into this land and you decide that you want a king, because all the other nations have a king. There's been no talk about kings to this point, and it would take a while before it would come up, but sure enough, it would come up. And they talk about kings, and one of the things about kings that it says is, so you're going to have a chief, make sure it's a godly person, don't let them collect gold or silver, and don't go to Egypt to go get a bunch of horses. Now that's a remarkably specific instruction. Why is that? The reason is that Egypt is where all of the good horses were. Egypt is where the thoroughbreds were. Oh, the coppers can look at me. Egypt is where the thoroughbreds were. And what did you use the thoroughbreds for? Not just for betting on the ponies, but for your military. And God is saying, don't trust your military. Don't trust your military might. Trust me, right? Don't trust your financial might. Trust me. And this sort of military thing, and chill out about the military, happens a couple times. But it's interesting that it's here, sort of early on here in Deuteronomy. The other thing I want to mention before I... Let's see how long. The other thing I want to mention before we go is just about the prophet. There's some talk about about the prophet who is going to come. Singular, interestingly, isn't that interesting? A singular prophet who is going to come. And in Jesus, you have all of these things combined, right? The sacrifice, the Passover sacrifice, the prophet, and the king. It's interesting that this sacrificial system, we talk about when Jesus says, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. This is one of the things that he's talking about. The sacrificial system is, the system itself is not repudiated. I don't know, is that a good word for it? It's not repudiated, rather it's brought to completion. So follow this. So originally there, here, I'm going to give you the whole thing. Back in Genesis, remember after Adam and Eve sinned and they realized they were naked and they sewed fig leaves for themselves to cover up their nakedness. Do you remember, and I had not, that God also gave them skins, right? Gave them sheep's skins to cover themselves, to cover themselves up. And you might say that is the first sacrifice for sin, one lamb for each person. During the actual Passover, right? And during the Passover, the Exodus Passover and sort of the early Passovers before Deuteronomy, you're supposed to take one lamb per family. And if your neighbor couldn't afford it, then you helped him out with a lamb also. But so one lamb per person, and then now it's one lamb for family. By the time you get to Deuteronomy, it's going to be one lamb. Remember, and like everybody's got to come together to do it. You don't celebrate Passover just in your home. You celebrate it at wherever the place that God's name is going to dwell. You celebrate Passover there. So it's one lamb for the people, right? For all of the tribes of Jacob, for all of the people of Israel. So first one lamb for a person, then one lamb for a family, then one lamb for a nation. And when John the Baptist sees Jesus, he looks at Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," right? Not just the sin of an individual person or of a family or even of a nation, but rather Jesus who takes away the sin of the entire world. So there you see sort of Jesus as the fulfillment of the sacrificial system. Not a repudiation of it, but rather the once and for all sacrifice. You don't have to come together to sacrifice and hope for Passover. Your Passover's already happened, and the thing that was promised has already happened. And so Jesus, the sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. However, we do still gather, right? We do still gather, but we gather in a different way. We don't kill sheep or anything, one for a family or one for a nation or one for the world. We don't kill one every year because Jesus was the final sacrifice. And so those kinds of sacrifices don't have to be made again. Instead, we come together and we do the rejoicing. We do the rejoicing about the fact that God has pardoned our sins, that we do participate in God's life. We participate in the divine nature by our brotherhood and sisterhood with Jesus, and we are provided for. And the Eucharistic feast is a symbol of that being provided for. So that's all. There you go, right? In Deuteronomy 16 through 19, who knew it was all there? It's repetitive, but looking at the differences can be pretty enlightening, pretty illuminating, at least for me. I don't know what you felt about it, but I turned off the speaker for the map, so you can't track me anymore. I'm on my way to Exton, though, or Easton. I never know. Exton, I think. All right, I'll leave it there. Let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful rest of your day, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And I'll talk to you again tomorrow as we're getting down to it, to the end of Deuteronomy. Take care.